Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be so with the banks. How? We fired our CEO, and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much. Stay with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure as always, especially when I get a chance to introduce you to, again, to a longtime tenured member of our Brain Trust, Rick Maurer, who is our change expert. He's the guy who helps us understand that change is not something that, change is something that obviously not only happens all the time, but it's not enough just to admit that or to understand that. You have to lead change, and he's helping us with that. He's got a new book called Feedback Toolkit out. It's in the second edition, I should say. This is all about communication. Of course, his other two books, Why Don't You Want What I Want, my favorite title, my favorite lament, and then Beyond the Wall of Resistance, and he's our good friend, Rick Maurer. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here, Jim.
Always a pleasure to have you back. And, Rick, I was thinking about our topic today. And I was thinking about the guy who was in a flood, and he was sitting on top of his house and in a flood, and a boat came by, and the guy said, "Get in." He said, "No, the Lord will provide." And another boat came by, and he said, "Get in." He said, "No, the Lord will provide." And the helicopter came by and tried to get him to get in the helicopter, and he said, "No, the Lord will provide." And he finally wound up drowning, and he got to heaven, and he said, "Lord, I thought you were going to provide." He said. And the Lord said, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What do you want?" sometimes we see things; they're hitting us upside the head, and we don't pay attention, right?
We don't. And that's a great story. I don't think we need to talk for this half hour. That's it. That's perfect. There's, Harley Davidson, and I would imagine some of your listeners have ridden Harleys in their lifetime. I mean, it's a fabled, well-respected brand.
And Americans, an incredible American story.
It is. And in the 70s, their quality just plummeted. It was awful. In fact, they still hung on to some of the loyal riders, but they were losing customers. But some of the loyal riders would even say, "But if you're going to ride a Harley, you need to buy two, one to ride and one for parts." I mean, it was that bad. And I heard an executive from Harley talking after, in the 80s, what happened is they discovered quality improvement, and they were one of the few companies that did more than lip service. They said, this is what we're going to do, and they turned the company around. Mm-hmm. And now, they're a great motorcycle builder.
There's another component to them. They also had demographic issues. They had demographic issues, and they had competition from Japan with Honda.
That's right.
But they also had demographic issues, because of the age and so which were also change elements.
Absolutely, and you're right. And the Japanese manufacturers like Honda and Toyota were coming in. I meant to say Yamaha. They were coming in, the demographic changes, and all of that swirling around. And I heard an executive who had been there during that same period, and he said, "You would have thought we would have recognized all of this." And he said, "The writing was on the wall. We thought it was a forgery." And that stuck with me.
Say that again.
The writing was on the wall, but we thought it was a forgery.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just think that's extremely powerful, and that is not just, it isn't that there were dim people running Harley. It's not that at all. It's all of us have the capacity.
I've seen it. I've worked in corporate in organizations where this happened, and I've worked for organizations where as a consultant where this has happened. And
yeah.
See, this happened with Xerox back in the 70s and early 80s. Same thing with Xerox.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, sadly, there are a lot of stories like that. It's a huge problem, and it's a huge problem for us as individuals, but let's just keep it on organizations. And there was an article, I don't know who wrote it, I read it on the plane. I was in forced captivity on a plane this weekend a lot. And it was in last month's The Atlantic, and it was about corporate failures. And one of the premises was that organizations are built for inertia. In other words, once we get something going, that's the way we want it to go.
Yeah.
And so we really are good at, if it's not working.
And we find out how to be successful with that inertia. And Joel Barker calls those paradigms.
Exactly.
And we wind up learning how to be successful. We're going to talk some more about this. How to believe the writing on the wall, folks, after these messages with our good friend Rick Maurer. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.